You got your Bibles with you tonight. I'd like for you to turn to 1 Peter chapter number 1 tonight. And when I look in the chapter, or 1 Peter, there's a lot of things that here in this chapter, or in these chapters, I want you to think about this with me just for a moment. Here, when Simon Peter was writing and giving us this book, or I could say books when it comes to 1 and 2 Peter, I always like to go and look when I'm studying a book or looking at maybe preaching out of this book or whatever may be the case. I always like to go and look for the purpose and find out why they're writing, what the Holy Spirit gave them, and to get us to understand what we're looking at here. And so I want you to think about this with me here just a moment. When we look at the purpose, there was two reasons that Peter was writing this letter that the Holy Spirit gave to him. I want you to think about this. Number one, to challenge and strengthen believers to stand against the persecution that was coming. I believe that, I don't know the last time I preached, I don't know exactly what I preached on when I came here the last time, but when I look at the world that we live in today, there's a lot of beginning, I guess you could say, more of persecution. More of things going on against the Christian, against God, against the things of God. And when we look at this and we realize this tonight, even right here in 1 Peter tonight, when we think about what he is giving them and encouraging them, and I want to encourage you tonight. I don't know what's to come. I know we can read the Bible and see a lot of the different things that's going to happen, but we don't know exactly how things are going to be. But let me tell you this, God does. And persecution is going to come. It may come to the point that, who knows, it may come to the point that me and Brother McMillan may be put in jail one day for preaching the Bible. You never know. But the persecution is going to come. But I want to encourage you to go on no matter how hard the persecution gets. And then another thing here that they were dealing with to reinforce the glorious truth. And think about this now, that the believer is only a stranger and pilgrim upon this earth. Can I say tonight we're just passing through? This is not my permanent home. When you put a tent in, and I think about this a lot, back years ago, I'll give you this here in a way of an introduction tonight. When I would go camping, I remember going with the kids sometimes, and we'd put the tent up, and we'd put those stakes down. Well, I'm one of those kind of tent men that when I go camping, I got to have an air mattress, and I got to have a fan blowing, got to have a generator sitting here behind me, and all. And I know y'all tough it, I guess. But anyway, I remember putting those tent stakes in. And can I give you the idea tonight that let's not get our tent stakes too deep here. Now, I would want to live life and enjoy life. Nothing wrong with doing that. Nothing wrong with doing the things that we know that we're supposed to do. But I got a better place to go. I'm just a passing through. This is just my temporary home, and one of these days I'm going to get to go to my eternity and go to my eternal home, and oh, what a blessing that's going to be. And I'm looking forward to that day. I don't know when that day is going to be, but I'm looking forward to that day. But it was encouraging them to let them know that, hey, we got a better place to go. And can I encourage us tonight as we look at this and as we get into 1 Peter chapter number 1, I want to just look at a few things tonight that I pray will be a help to you. And there's several things in this first chapter. And I'm going to read down through verse number 12 and just try to give you what God has put on our heart tonight. But look with me in verse number 1. The Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Listen to what he says in verse number 5. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perish through though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and the glory that appeared in Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believe. Ye rejoice with, listen to what the Bible says here, with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ, which is in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ, and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things, think about this, the angels desire to look into. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you tonight, Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here tonight. Father, we thank you for Midway Baptist Church. Lord, we thank you for their pastor. I pray, God, that you bless Brother McMillan tonight. God, just touch him as he preaches there. And Lord, as he gives his testimony, I pray, God, that you touch him and help him tonight. I pray, God, that you'd help us here tonight, Lord, as we look into your word just for a little bit. I pray, God, that we can be a help and a blessing here and an encouragement. And Father, we just ask you now just to help us, Lord, to just to be obedient to you and to do what you would have us to do. And Father, have your will and way. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we look at these verses tonight as we go down through here, and I don't know how far we'll get or whatever, but we'll try to just mind God tonight, do what God tells us to do. But there are several things on my mind and on my heart out of these verses. When we look at this, and the first thing that I think about tonight, and when God knew us and things that He knows about us and the foreknowledge of God, and I think about the sanctification that God does in our life and how that He sanctifies us and getting us where He wants us. And I was preaching this morning about how that when we live our life, which I was preaching out of Psalm chapter 1, and how that word there, that first word there in Psalm chapter number 1 talks about blessed, talks about happy. And you know, God, when I said there a while ago that we're pilgrims and strangers just passing through, I want us to understand tonight that God wants us to live a life that is pleasing to Him. God is wanting us to live a life that He can look down on and He would be pleased with. And I've said it many times, and I'll say it again tonight, that I believe our life every day ought to please God. I believe that ought to be a goal in our life, is to please God, is to walk with God, and to be what we need to be for God each and every day of our life. We've been doing a study in the book of Nehemiah on Sunday nights and talking about revival and talking about getting closer to God and getting back to where we need to be with God. And when I think about that tonight and I look at this and many things I could say about sanctification, there in verse number 2, there in verse number 2 also talks about being obedient. And when we think about this and we look at these verses and how that we see here that obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ and looking at what God has done for us and how He's been there for us and how that He changed our life and saved us and gave us a brand new life through the blood of Jesus Christ and all these things. But I believe what ought to be in our life is not only the sanctification and getting closer to God and getting to where we need to be with God, but I believe we ought to have a mindset that I want to obey God. I want to do what God wants me to do every day. I want to have that mindset every day of my life. God, help me. Whatever tomorrow holds, God, help me to be obedient to you. Help me to walk close to you. And folks, let me say something. Persecution's going to come. We was talking about that this morning, even in Sunday school. Brother Blaine back here. You know, there's some people, the devil, he's going to do everything he can to get you discouraged. The devil's going to try to do everything he can right now. Let me even say this. When I see things going on around the church, when I see God blessing, and God's been a blessing at our church, and we've seen some people get saved. We had one with us this morning raised their hand and said they was lost, and we've been seeing some lost people come and seeing God work and seeing God work in other people's lives, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for what I'm hearing down here at the baptizing that you just had. But let me say something. It don't come without persecution. It don't come without the old devil sticking his nose in something. And we need to understand tonight that if we're walking with God, and understand what this preacher's saying, and listen, y'all know me, y'all know I love you. I didn't come here tonight to hurt you. I come here tonight to help you. But let me say something tonight. When we get sanctified and get to where we need to be with God and walking with God every day, and we're obedient to God, and we're walking the way God wants us to walk, well, when the old devil comes in, we know he's coming in. We know he tries to come against us. You know what we can do through God's help? We can overcome those things. We can overcome that no matter what it may be. Because we never know which way it's going to come in. I'll be honest with you, and you may not look at it the way I look at it, but as a pastor right now, I look at our church and people are coming back from COVID now, and we had some more people to come today that hadn't been in a while, and I'm excited. I really am. I'm excited to see that. But I'm also looking around. You say, preacher, you're crazy. Folks, I've been pastoring almost 19 years, and every time the God goes to bless and the devil goes to fight. Every time I say, hey, I've seen him, I've seen that person. And that's a type of persecution that the devil comes in and tries to defeat what we're trying to do and tries to take our excitement away. Tries to take our joy away. That's the reason I say, well, we need to stay close to God and be obedient to God and do what God is asking us to do. And we see, again here in verse number 2, we see there about the obedience. We see different things that he's saying here, even about the blood of Jesus Christ. But as we move on down, I'm trying to get to a verse tonight. As I look also in verse number 2, we see grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, when I think about this grace and I think about this and the chosen are people who've experienced grace and peace. We know that grace tonight is undeserved favor. We know that grace tonight, can I say tonight, is giving us something that we don't deserve. When I think about our salvation tonight, when I think about what God has done in our life, listen to me. I've said it many times, I deserve to be in hell with my back broke tonight. But God seemed fit to change me. God seemed fit to save me and change my life and give me a brand new life. And I'm thankful for that tonight. And I want to have a heart that wants to do something for God. Hey, I get excited getting to come and being here tonight. I'm excited with our church family here tonight. And even the church family that's here, I'm excited. You say, preacher, why? Because listen, I'm thankful tonight for the grace of God. I'm thankful tonight that I got something that I don't deserve. I don't deserve what God has done for me. Hey, God's been good to me. God's blessed me beyond measure. And I don't deserve everything God gives me every day. But I go ahead and tell you tonight, because He's a whole lot better to me than I am to Him. We need to understand tonight when we look at the grace of God and understand what the grace of God is all about and how that God has blessed us and God has been there for us. And it's amazing to me the things that God has done. Can I say tonight, the word undeserved is the key to understanding grace. Don't you listen to something. Man does not deserve God's favor. Let's think about that for a moment. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you're born again, you know you're going to heaven, and you know that you're one of those pilgrims and strangers just passing through. If you're one of those tonight, you know something? When we think about God's favor, think about something with you just a minute. Now, I believe in me and Brother McMillan's on the same page with this. I believe that with all my heart. I still believe in John 6:44, where it talks about the drawing. And I believe for a person to get saved, I believe the Holy Spirit has to draw. Now I want you to think about something with me just a minute. Out of all these millions of people in the world, God came by our way. God came to you through the sweet Holy Spirit. And dealt with your heart. He didn't have to do that. But He came and sat down, the Holy Spirit came and sat down beside wherever you were at, whether it be right down the road or in a church service or wherever it was at, and the sweet Holy Spirit came to you and sat down beside you and showed favor to you. You said, preacher, what do you mean? Because He convicted your heart. He convicted you. He came to where you were at. And I don't know about you tonight, but that gets me excited just knowing that the God in heaven, hallelujah, had sent the Holy Spirit down here, and He came to where I was at. Amen. I wasn't even able to go to where He was at, but He came to where I was at.
And when we think about that favor tonight that God has done for us and how that it came to where we were at, in the situation that we was in the ditch that we was in the wherever we was at, the muck and mire of this world, and God came to where we was at. Showed me a new favor. Because He convicted our heart. Not only did He come to where we was at, but He showed us where we was at. Because I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you're here tonight and you say you're saved, you've been convicted, and you've been shown that you was lost. And I believe that. I believe the Holy Spirit shows you that. He lets you know where you were at. He lets you know, hey, some of us was in that deep muck in the mire of the world. Some of us was in it deep. I think about some of the men in our church tonight. I mean, they were on down in there. Boy, God had to reach. And if they were here to testify tonight, they'd say, boy, God reached way on down there. God reached way on down there to get me. But I want you to understand tonight, He came to where we was at. He came there where we was at and showed us favor tonight. And when we realize that tonight and realize the favor of the grace of God and what God has done for us, can I say this tonight? Man is imperfect and God is perfect. Why would God want to come to somebody like me? Think about that, folk. Amen. Think about where we was at before we got saved. Think about where God came to when He came to save you. Well, preacher, I've not really been a bad person. Thank you, brother. I've not been a bad person. Preacher, I've had some moles and I had a good character and all that. But let me say tonight, we were still lost. Amen. And we needed a Savior. Amen. And He showed favor to me and you through His grace. And I think about that, and I think about that favor that God showed me. Can I say this? Boy, when I read this, boy, bless my heart. God is, think about this, God is too high and man is too low for man to deserve anything. Think about who God is. Think about the God of heaven. How that He, listen, I get a blessing out of that song that they sing, how that God knows my name. God knows me. God knows who I am. God came to where I was at. That Thursday night that I got saved, God came to, the sweet Holy Spirit came to there to that church that night. I sat on the front pew. We were on visitation. And I was sitting there and He'd already been dealing with my heart. Been already been dealing with my heart for a couple of weeks and just showing me things. But He came real there. Boy, I like what was, hallelujah. I like what was said back there in the back, in the vestibule a while ago. I asked them, I said, what kind of service y'all have this morning? They said, we had a great service. God was here. Yeah. I don't know about anybody else, but I sure am glad when God shows up, God's going to do something and God's going to work and God's going to do some things. And that Thursday night, God showed up right there where I was sitting. Right there where I was at, and if you can recall a night where you were sitting or where you was at, the night that God saved you, that He came to where you was at, I don't know about you, but it ought to bring excitement in our life. It ought to bring joy in our life, knowing that we went from, as I've been preaching on Sunday morning sometimes, that we went from death unto life, we went from the darkness into the light, and God changed our life, gave us a brand new life. But He showed us favor that day. And I don't know about you, but I get excited thinking about the God of heaven loves somebody like me. Somebody so undeserved. And I can't get off this point, but that's alright. Hey, listen. When God showed up that day, He changed me. He gave me a brand new life. He gave me a brand new walk. He gave me a, hey, everything about my life was brand new that day. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Well, the grace of God is real, and I'm so thankful for the grace of God. And I'm glad that He said, even in His Word, He said, my grace will be sufficient. No matter what you go through, after you get saved, He'll still show you favor, and He'll still show you things down the road and help you go through things because His grace is real tonight.
Amen.
But boy, what a favor tonight. What a favor that God gave me and you tonight. Can I say tonight, man has reacted against God too much. When I think about this, man had rejected God. I was thinking this morning when I left church this morning, left with a burden on my heart. They had a meal for my birthday after service this morning, and I was looking forward to all that, but as a pastor, when I see a hand go up, it bothers me. You say, preacher, what you say? It does something to me. Because I... Can I say men that were standing back there a while ago? And I'm not trying to brag or trying to do anything here. I'm just trying to make a point here. But God showed up in faith this morning too.
Amen.
He was here and he was there. You say, Brett, what are you saying? Because I watched this young man raise his hand that he was lost. Why did he raise his hand? I wonder why he did that. Because the sweet Holy Spirit saw favor in him. And you know what? I look at that and he didn't even realize it. What God was doing in his life this morning. And the one that was with him, and I don't know for sure if that was his wife or girlfriend or who it was, but she looked at me when I went out the door and she said, "We will be back."
Amen.
You know something? I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
But you know my heart's burdened.
Yeah.
Because I might not have that opportunity to come back.
Yeah.
And think about the times that we've rejected God, and even in now after we've been saved, things that we didn't do what God wanted us to do. God lays something on our heart and we not do it. We're not obedient. Think about the favor that God showed us. And folk, I know, don't get me wrong tonight, I know that we could work for God until the day we die and never repay Him for what He's done for us. I understand that. But just think about the favor that God showed us. Think, hey, we could still be on our way to hell tonight. We could still be on that devil's road tonight. We could still be headed down that awful road tonight. But God seen fit again to come to where we was at and save us and change our life. Showed us favor. Thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for that grace that God has given us. Man has rebelled against God. Man has ignored God. Man has neglected God. Man has cursed God. And I keep going down the line of so many things that man has done. Can I say tonight, man deserves nothing but God's judgment. And that's what we deserve tonight. But I'm so thankful tonight that I don't have to worry about that judgment. I don't have to worry about the tribulation. I don't have to worry about the great white throne judgment. I'm not going to neither one of those places. Thank God I don't have to worry about hell. I don't have to worry about that because God showed favor. And boy, what a blessing it is tonight to see that. And then I see something else here in this verse tonight, there in verse number 2. It says something here that I want you to get. It says, "Grace unto you and peace." But look at what he said at the end of this. "And be multiplied," or "be multiplied." Now, when I looked at that and I thought about this, and I think about the grace, how that God had grace that day that we got saved. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God." So God used grace to save us. God brought grace into our life. And then it was going to be multiplied when he did that. The day we got saved, and I don't know if this helps you or not, but think about this. The day we got saved, when he brought grace into our life, when he showed favor to us, the Bible says there, "be multiplied." So if I'm reading, and I believe I'm reading this correctly, looking at this right, that means that grace is going to be multiplied. That means peace is going to be multiplied. That means that God knew. And can I say this tonight? God is an all-knowing God. Don't ever forget that. God knows everything about our life. I can go ahead and tell you right now that when you walk out those doors tonight, there's nobody sitting in here tonight that can come up to me tonight and say, "Preacher, I know exactly what's going to happen in my life this week." Now, you got plans. You're planning probably to go to work some of you in the morning. Some of you got other things that you're going to do in the morning. You got plans, but you don't know you're going to make it there. Can I say something tonight? God knows exactly where you're going to be. God knows exactly what you're going to go through. God knows exactly if that phone call is going to happen this week. God knows exactly the things that's going to take place in your life. And that's the reason I believe that he said, "be multiplied." I believe that he knows. God knows what we're going to go through. And he knows when we're going to need that extra grace. He knows when we're going to need that grace to go through something. And how that he's going to bring, and he's going to bring that peace into our life. God knows that because he's going to be multiplied and he's going to give us exactly what we need. So let me go ahead and tell you tonight, no matter what comes in our life this week, God's got it under control.
Amen. Right.
God already knows what's going to happen in Brother Kenny's life this week. I've got a lot of plans. I've got a lot of things to do this coming week. But you know something? I don't know. I may not get to do none of them. I don't know. But God knows. God knows how much grace I'm going to need this week. He knows how much peace I'm going to need this week. God knows exactly what's going to take place in my life, and He's going to give us that, and He's going to give us those things. Even in the times to come, when the persecution comes, and the hard times come, and the devil goes to fight, and all these other things, God knows exactly how much peace I need in my life. And He'll give us what we need tonight.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for that tonight, that it can be multiplied. The Bible says, and think about these verses with me just a moment. Let me say this before I get into those verses. A person can experience true peace only if he becomes to know Jesus Christ. Let me say tonight, I don't know everybody's heart here tonight, but if you're lost here tonight, only time you're going to know about true peace is get to know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then you'll know about peace then. Then you'll understand peace.
Amen.
Only Christ can bring peace to the human heart. The kind of peace that brings that deliverance and assurance to the human soul. That peace that we have, that peace that passes all understanding. Knowing that one of these days we're going to get to be in heaven. Even when John said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, everything's going to be okay. God's going to take care of everybody. And that's the way it is in our life tonight. And we need to realize that tonight. When we're looking to God, it's just like the sister said back there a while ago. And I preached a message. I don't know if I've ever preached it here or heard it. But I preached a message one night on that verse. And I never could get off of those first two words, we know. Because I can go ahead and tell us tonight that when we know, when we understand God and we understand His grace and understand His favor and understand everything that God is doing in our life, you know what happens? We can go through things, we can be obedient, we can walk through things a whole lot better when we know God is in control. When we know God's got this, we can say it like this, no matter what we're going to face this week, hallelujah, we can say tonight, hey, I know God's got this.
Amen.
It ain't one of these things, hey, I'm glad that when Paul wrote that, I'm glad Paul didn't say, well, I think we know. I'm glad he didn't put that think in there. But he said, we know. And when we get to that point in our Christian life that we know about God's grace, that we know about God's peace, that we understand those things, and when we get to that point and we say, hey, I know God's got this under control. I know God's got this. I ask the question sometimes. Now, I know. Don't get under the pew and don't throw nothing at me. But I know sometimes we worry. There's not a one of us in here, don't worry. But this is the reason I said don't throw a book at me. Why do we worry? Notice what I said. I didn't say why do y'all worry, I said why do we worry? So that's up here in the pulpit too. But why do we worry? Because God's got it under control. God's got it. I know we've got this old flesh that we have to deal with, and that's the reason we worry sometimes. But God knows exactly what's going to take place, how it's going to take place, when it's going to take place. God's got it all in control. And when we get to that point, we know then that grace comes in. We know that God's going to give me grace. Whatever comes in my life, God's going to give it to me. And we know that God's going to give me the peace that I need. We know that that's going to happen. When we get to that point in our Christian life, how much better we're going to be as a Christian. How much easier it's going to be to be obedient. When we get to that point, we know. We know that God's going to take care of this. Because God's already done it this time, and He done it that time, and He done it then, and God's going to do it again.
Amen.
And God will continue to do it. And what a blessing that is tonight to know that God is doing those things. But let me say this. I'll just give you two or three verses very quick. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because I've got this. God can tell every one of us tonight, hey, I got this. And that's in John chapter 14, 20, verse 27. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Listen, who are we talking about? The peace of God. What God can give. That we can have peace in Him. He can give us that peace in the hardest times of our life. God can bring peace into those times. He can bring peace when we most need it. And God gives that. That's the peace of God, not the peace that the world gives. That peace don't last, but God's peace lasts. God's peace is there. And when we think about this, let me read again, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace in the world. Look at what the Bible says, and that's what the Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 33. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Things are going to happen. Hard times are going to come. But look at what he said. But be of good cheer. Laugh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Boy, hallelujah. Put a big smile on your face. Why, preacher? Because he said here, be of good cheer. And think about this right here. For I have overcome the world. Hey, he's the one that's took care of it already. Before we ever get there, he's already took care of it. So when we think about that tonight, what a blessing it is to have peace with God. And then just going down through these verses, I want to look at one other verse. Probably as far as we, verses 3 through 5 is where this is at here. But look what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy. Now again, we have the word mercy here. His abundant mercy. Hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now I want you to think about something with me just a moment. Now we've talked about His favor. We've talked about His peace and His grace that He's given every one of us, that He gives us even at the time of salvation, we get that, and then He continues to give that. It's multiplied throughout our life. Guarantee you, we could stand here tonight, and every one of us could testify to the fact, oh, God's grace is real, preacher. God gave me the grace that I needed to go through what I went through. God gave me the peace that I needed when I needed it. Might have been in that waiting room, and God came by and gave me that peace. Hey, have you ever been to that point? Let me give you this other golden nugget right here. Have you ever been to that point where you just feel so down and you don't know what in the world's going to happen? It just seems like the sweet Holy Spirit comes and wraps His arms around you and says, hey, that's going to be all right. And that's the kind of peace I'm talking about. That's the kind of grace that I'm talking about. And then He gives us all of that. And then He says here in these verses, I'm also going to give you a lively hope. Now, I'm not one of these theologians by no means. But when it says lively hope, you know what I'm thinking in Stokes County terms? That's life.
Yeah.
That's a hope that's real. That's not one of these hopes that I'm hoping about something. That's a hope that's real. That's a hope that I'm just as good as already being there. The day I got saved, it was just like I was already in heaven that day. You say, preacher, what are you saying? That's a lively hope. That's that lively hope that we're talking about tonight. I want you to think about this. One said it about this passage of Scripture, this verse 3 through 5, one said it like this. This is rich. A rich passage of Scripture. Very rich. What do you mean? It is one of those passages, listen now, that is so rich that it would take an eternity to grasp all that is taught in these three verses. How deep. Boy, what a lively hope. And so, I don't have time tonight. We'd be here till 8 or 9 o'clock or later for me to even touch the hem of this. But I want you to think about this. And the most wonderful thing has to do with the believer's glorious hope. Knowing. Notice what I said. I walked up to people before. I asked them, I say, are you saved? Well, I hope I am. Well, I think I am. That's not the lively hope I'm talking about.
Right.
When somebody comes up to me and asks if they ever do and asks me about my salvation, I look at them and I say, I know that I'm saved. I know that if I was to die right now, hey, if something was to happen to me right now, and that's just like Brother McMillan, me and him was talking the other night, he's laying on that table, he said, I wasn't worried about where I was going. He said, I didn't have to worry about that. He said, I just wanted to be here for my family and be here as long as God let me. He said, but I wasn't worried about where I was going. He said, I'll be honest with you, and I don't know how much he shared with y'all, so I hope I'm not sharing something that shouldn't be, but he was telling me, he said, when I was laying there on that table and he was working on me, he said, I didn't know what was getting ready to happen, but he said, you know what I was thinking about? He said, I may be getting ready to go see Jesus. You know what kind of hope that is? That's a lively hope. That's the kind of hope that we need in this world today, because persecution's coming. The devil's coming to fight. Hey, we're going to need that grace. We're going to need that peace. We're going to need God to help us through things. And you say, preacher, what do you say? We need that lively hope tonight. Knowing tonight, and have that in our life. Knowing that we're going to go to heaven. Not that we're thinking about it. You say, preacher, I can't. You can't know it. The Bible says we can't. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. It's not one of these things we have to think about. Hey, it's a lively hope. He gave us that lively hope. He gave us that. Think about this. A living hope means, just like I said a while ago, it's not dead. It's a lifeless hope. It's life. It's life in it. Think about this today. Think about what I'm getting ready to give you now. The body, we have a body, a spirit, and a soul. Now think about this with me just a minute. One of these days, your soul is going somewhere.
Right.
It's going to spend eternity either in heaven or in a place called hell. It's going. There's nothing. Hey, listen, if you don't make any kind of decisions in your life, and you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to end up in the devil's hell one day. But if you make a choice to have this lively hope and this hope that's alive tonight, then let me tell you what happens. Let me explain this to you tonight. The day I got saved, that Thursday night when I got saved, and I was preaching on this the other Sunday morning, I went from death unto life. What do you mean by that, preacher? Because the Bible says we're dead in our trespasses and sins. We're dead. We're walking around as a dead man, a dead woman, a dead boy, and a girl. We're dead. We're dead to the things of God because we don't understand the things of God. Over in the book of Romans chapter number 3, it talks about that. But we were dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and that's all we knew. But that day that we came and the Holy Spirit convicted our heart and showed us that we were lost, and we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and asked Him to save us, we went from being dead to being alive. You say, preacher, why? Because God is alive. Hey, I get excited about this. Hey, I get excited more than just on Easter Sunday. Hey, that morning when He arose that third day, let me tell you something. He went back to heaven and ascended back to heaven, and He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's alive and well tonight. And I know that, and He's alive tonight. And listen, if I was dead in my trespasses to see Him, Holy Spirit takes up abode in my life. What does that make me? That makes me alive. That makes me, hey, can I go ahead and help you here? That makes me to the point that I'll never die. Hope y'all understand that. Hey, listen. If you're born once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, you're only going to die one time. What are you saying, preacher? Because when you're born that second time and born into the family of God, hey, listen, when I take my last breath, the Bible says be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. When I take my last breath, I'm going to be in His presence. I'll be alive forevermore. Hey, listen, I told them at the church, I said, listen, when somebody calls you on the phone, if they do a call them on and say, Brother Kenny has passed away, don't you believe me? I'll be alive more than I ever have. Now you might see a body laying here, but let me tell you something. I've even told my wife, told my family, I said, listen, it'll be all right. Maybe y'all just push me over y'all to the side. Get that body out of the way. Y'all preach to my family and enjoy your time. You say, why, preacher? Because I'm gonna be in a better place. Because when I accepted Jesus Christ that day, I got a lively hope. I got a hope that's alive. I got a hope that's real. I got a hope that I know that one of these days I'm going to be in a better place, and I thank God for that tonight.
Amen.
It's not that I'm going through life worrying about what's going to take place. Hey, listen, when I had COVID a few weeks ago, there was a couple of days, my wife's a registered nurse, there was a couple of days I didn't know what was going to happen. I wasn't worried about where I was going. I was just like Brother McMillan. I was just wanting to get better for my family. I was wanting to stay with my family all I could, and wanting to preach more, and wanting to be at the church more, and I couldn't wait to get back to the church. Boy, that Sunday night I had to lay there and watch it live. I said, Lord, have mercy. I said, this is not good at all. I mean, you know, it didn't feel good either, but still, I'm like, boy, I want to be there. Because I got something. Not only just something, I got Him. He's alive and well tonight. He's alive. Listen, let me tell you tonight. If you know Him tonight, you know what I'm talking about. Let me tell you something tonight. You know what? If you know Him tonight, you know what's happening. Something's turning in there right now. What's that something?
That's that sweet Holy Spirit.
He's a bearing witness tonight. He's a bearing witness with the preaching tonight. Can you preach what he said? Hey, preacher, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, I've got that lively hope. Yeah, preacher, I know exactly what you're talking about. I understand, preacher. That's the way it is tonight. That's the way, hey, and when we talked about His grace over a while ago, yeah, preacher, I remember. Boy, that grace has been real many, many times. Preacher, that's been many, many times that peace has just come right when I needed it. God knew exactly when I needed it. And can I say tonight, listen, I don't know what's going to happen in our life, but can I say tonight the hope that God gives us is a living hope. A hope that's real and true. And can I say it like this? It actually exists. It's real. It's real. And I pray that everybody sitting here tonight, you know it's real. I pray you're not sitting here tonight and you don't know that hope, that blessed hope that God gives. I pray that you know it's real. I pray that you understand it. And I pray that you've got that in your mind. And let me say tonight, when I think about hope and the believers, I think about that mercy that He said there in those verses. And how that He said there, He said that blessed be the God of the Lord Jesus Christ according to His abundant mercy. And He gave us and He begotten us. And let's just read this one more time. It says, and begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The day that He rose again, folks, listen to me. I was thankful that He went to the cross and died for us. I'm thankful that He went there and shed every drop of blood for you and I. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for everything He went through. I'm thankful that He laid His life down freely. But when they took Him off that cross and they put Him in that tomb, well, the old devil thought he had won. Old devil thought, hey, boy, I got Him now. Look what I've done. Look what, boy, I've won now. But on that third day, He done prophesied and done said that He was coming up that third day. Now, I want us to understand something here. I'm thankful for everything He done. But I sure am glad and thankful that He got up on that third day. But you know what that means now? He's not dead anymore. My God's alive tonight. You say, how you know? Preacher, because I just talked to Him a little bit ago. I was sitting right over here just a few minutes ago talking to Him. He said, preacher, you've been talking to Him tonight. I've been talking to Him coming down the road. I've been talking to Him right here. And let me tell you something. I've been talking to Him today. You said, preacher, what do you see? He's alive. Amen. And He heard me. Amen. And He knows who I am. Y'all don't forget this.
Hallelujah.
And He listens to us. And I have that lively hope tonight. Boy, I can say so much. Let me say tonight that the source of God, the source of God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, think about this, He is our Lord. To whom the one we surrender and subjected our lives to, we want to be obedient to Him. Because He's given us life. Listen, your mom and dad gave you life into this world, brought you into this world. Your mom brought you into this world. My mom told me about that. It's been 51 years ago yesterday. And my mom told me that she had me. I wasn't there that day. I can't tell you a thing in the world about that birth. I can tell you what my mama told me. But I can't tell you a thing in the world about that birth. All I know it happened because I'm here today. And my mama told me it happened. But can I say tonight, at that second birth, I was there that night. I was there when God gave me that lively hope. I was there that day when He showed favor to me. I was there that day when God came there that night where I was at. The God of heaven came to where I was at, as I said a while ago, and saved me and changed my life. Gave me a brand new life that night. I was there. I can tell you all about it. Now I can't, hey, I've seen some right in here tonight. Right here with us tonight. I've been there with them when they came to the altar and I read some scriptures with them and if I preached the salvation message, a lot of times I didn't have to read scriptures, but I told them what they needed to do and I've been there with them when they prayed. And I was telling somebody the other day, I said, I wonder sometimes I was going to ask God one day. I said, God, would it be wrong for me to hit the record button on my phone when people are praying? Because I'm going to tell you what, you talk about a precious time. And there's some sitting right here tonight that I was there when they prayed and asked God to save them. And you talk about a precious time. You talk about a time that they had been convicted and God showed favor to them, and now they've come to an altar, and they come to an old-fashioned altar, and they're asking God to save them now. You talk about a precious time. You talk about a time that changes their life completely. Talking about that life they hold and gives them a life to live. Folks, can I say something about that? You didn't have a life to live until the day you got saved. You were just existing. That day you got saved, then you began to live. Then you understood life. Then you understood, hey, listen, you said, preacher, I don't know about that. Listen to what the Bible says right here. This is what the Bible says before we was asked to think about this right here with you. The Bible says this right here. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, which their tongues have, they have used deceit, the poison of asps, and they're under the lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And I could go on down the line, that's where we was at. We didn't have no life to hope. We wasn't alive. We were dead in those trespasses and sins. We were dead in that life. But boy, when He came, the one that is alive, He came and made us alive. He enlightened us, and that means to be made alive. And hey, we're alive in Him tonight. And can I get you this? Don't get too excited, but as long as God lives, I'm going to live. When we think about that, knowing, hey, listen, you say, preacher, how long do you think we're going to live? Well, the Bible says for eternity. How long is eternity, preacher? It's eternity. It's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and a going down the line. Just keep on going. As long as God's alive, I'm going to be alive. But I want you to think about this as I get ready to close tonight. When I think about this, we could say that it was an inheritance of hope, this lively hope that we got. But I close with this tonight. I want you to think about this point right here with me tonight. The assurance of hope. I don't know about you. I was talking to a man the other day. I shared this with the church the other night. And me and this man have known each other for a long time. And we were talking. And he looked at me and he said, something got in our conversation. I can't remember what was in our conversation, but he looked at me and he said, I guess you're one of those kind. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I guess you're one of those kind that you believe once saved, always saved. And I looked at him and I said, yes, sir. I said, I sure am. And he looked at me there, standing there that day. And he told me, he said that there's no way that can be. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, if I had my Bible right here with me right now, I said, I could show you many scriptures in the Bible where eternal security is in there and where I have everlasting life. Amen. But he said, every time I mess up, I lose my salvation. And I look at him and I said, let me help you here just a minute. I just want you to think about something, man. And maybe this will help somebody here tonight. I want you to think about something. I looked at him and I said, let's look at David for a minute. Now the Bible talks about David, how that David had a heart after God, how that David loved God. There was a time in David's life that he messed up. He looked, and he shouldn't have been looking. He shouldn't have been where he was at to start with. He should have been down on the battlefield.
Right.
But he looked, and he messed up. And Bathsheba came over, and y'all know the story. And then really, to be honest with you tonight, and I said, this is the way I look at this, and I believe I'm correct. David basically committed murder.
Yeah.
He sent Uriah down on the front line. He told him where to put him, and he knew when he put him on the front line, it wasn't going to be good. David tried every way he could to cover up his sin and cover up what he had done. And I looked at this man and I said, there's something I want to ask you. I said, have you ever read Psalms 51? He said, yeah, I've read Psalms 51. I said, well, my Bible says in Psalms 51, it doesn't say there that in that verse there, where David had already confessed his sin and asked God to forgive him and all of that, I said, it doesn't say in that verse there that the Bible doesn't say, God, I want you to restore my salvation. It doesn't say that. I said, the Bible says that he wanted God to restore the joy of his salvation. David hadn't never lost salvation. David hadn't never lost the salvation that he had. He just lost the joy of it because sin came in his life. And when sin came in his life, it took that joy away from him. And I was explaining that to that man, and he looked at me and he said, okay. And I'm like, what in the world? How in the world? Listen to me, man. Y'all stay with me just a minute. I don't believe you. How in the world can you have the sweet Holy Spirit living inside of you? Listen to me now. And not only that, but the Bible says, it talks about how that there's no man that can pluck me out of his hand. Now think about this a minute. My Bible tells me that he holds all the water in the palm of his hand, right in there. Then the Bible tells me that there's no man that can pluck me out of his hand. There's no man that can do that. Hey, think about this, man. Now, I don't know how deep the palm of his hand is, but when I go to the ocean and I look at the ocean, that's a lot of water.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I can't swim that good. So I'm not going to swim out of that. I know that. And I ain't going to be lost out of that. I ain't going to get out of it. And when we think about this tonight, the assurance of this lively hope, and let me just give you this last thing right here. I want you to think about this. When we look at this, the Bible says right here, who are kept by the power of God. Think about the power of God tonight. Think about what the power of God and what it exists and how that He is all powerful. You think I'm going to worry about losing my salvation? No, ma'am, and no, sir. You think I'm going to go home tonight and lay down on my pillow and sleep like a baby? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. If I don't wake up in the morning, am I going to be in a better place? And I know that. Yes, I do. But we're living in a day today that the old devil, he tries to throw everything he can at people. He tries to do everything. He tries to deceive people and get them going in all kinds of directions. And I'm glad we've got a lively hope tonight. I'm glad we got that assurance tonight, knowing that we're kept by the power of God through the faith unto salvation. And let me say it like this. Look at what he says here. Who will be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now, for a season if need be, you're in the heavens through the manifold temptations. There's temptations going to come. Those things are going to happen. But if we've got God in our life, I can promise you one thing. He'll give us the grace that we need. He'll give us the peace that we need. And then we get to thinking, listen, I was thinking about my sister telling me about her friend yesterday. Never heard of this before. Never heard of this, somebody doing this. But they done a celebration of life while he's living. And people came to see him and all of this. And doctors then told him there wasn't nothing else they could do for him. And you know something today? And you know, let me go ahead and help you out there too. God's still in control. And God's the one that takes the breath of life back.
Right.
So we're not going to, I think about Brother Olin King. Some of you may know him from Freedom Baptist Church. He used to have the Second Chance Ranch. I think now it's been 10 or 12 years. And they told him he wouldn't live no time. He's still got the tumor inside of him, but he's still going right on. A lot weaker than he used to be, but he's going right on. We're not leaving until God gets ready for us. But I'm glad that His grace is real. I'm glad that His peace is real. I'm glad tonight that we can have that lively hope and we can have the assurance of knowing that one of these days we're going to get to go to a better place. Folks, this is not the end. We're just pilgrims and strangers passing by.
Amen.
One of these days we're going to get to be together in heaven. What a blessing. If you're born again, you know you're born again tonight. You know something? We're brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes.
One of these days, we're going to be together.
Right.
Well, what a blessing that's going to be.
Amen.
Could be tonight, folks. He could come back tonight. He could come back before I get back to Stokes County.
Right.
That'll be all right. I ain't got to go get nothing. I'm ready to go right now. If he comes right now.
Amen.
Can I ask you this question tonight? Do you know? Do you know? I didn't ask you, did you think about it? But I asked you, did you know? Do you have 110% assurance that you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior?
Yeah.
Do you know that something wants to take place? Listen,
Let me just say this real quickly. Brother McMillan was talking to me the other night over supper. He told me, and he may have told y'all the same thing. He said, I wasn't having no problems. He said, I'm loved to y'all. He said, I've done all the things that I've done. He said, I wasn't having no problems whatsoever. And he said, I woke up at whatever it was, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and with chest pains. Can I say something to us tonight, folks? We never know what's going to happen. There's nobody in here tonight can tell me what's going on in your body right now, because you don't know. You may feel fine today. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you facts. You may feel good today. And I think about Brother McMillan, hey, when I went out and eat with him the other night, and I seen what he was eating, I said, I might all start eating that too. And I wasn't making fun. I was just saying, hey, look at him. I mean, look at Brother McMillan. I mean, you know, even the other time when we come down here to work, I said, he's lost a bunch of weight and doing good, and then here he comes up and has a massive heart attack. That lets us know it doesn't matter if we're young, old, healthy, whatever. Death is no respect of persons.
Yeah.
And when death comes, listen, we better be ready. And we better know. We better not think about it. We better know. And so I want you to understand tonight, listen, God's grace is real. God's peace is real. He gives us a lively hope. And listen, you better know that you have that assurance that you're going to go to heaven one day. Better know that. If you don't, I don't know a better time than right now to get that settled. Get it done. Get it. Put it in your mind, in the back of your mind. Don't worry about it no more. I don't have to worry about that no more.
Amen.
And so I'm thankful for that tonight.